What kind of victory was it? And what victory was it? Well, it's not the kind of victory that you prematurely rejoice in and then find out you jumped the gun. Amen. It is complete victory over sin, over death, over hell, over the grave, over the very last enemy. I mean, every one of them. That's complete victory. To have victory over every enemy, that's victory. Amen. I mean, that is when all things have been put under his feet. And they have been. And one day, physically, they will be. But right now, positionally, all things are put under him. Amen. He conquered it all. Conquered it all. Paid it all. Victory. Amen. Complete victory. And thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have that victory through him and only through him. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. I didn't know that at one time, but now I do. Amen. And I understand it. Glad that God opened my heart and my mind to understand it. The victory that he had given unto us. And, you know, to overcome, to have eternal life. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen. Victory. He give us faith to be victory. Victorious. Amen. Bless his name. 1 Corinthians 15. And we're going to look at some things this evening. I had been thinking about this thought some, and then today Brother Adam asked me a question. And it was long. Same lines of what I had been thinking about. And it's about the coming of our Lord. Some things to know about the coming of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 51. And this is probably one of the most familiar passages that we have, and if I'm not mistaken, Brother Mike mentioned that this morning about the coming of the Lord before he began to teach. We see this in, Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery." So the first thing to know about the coming of our Lord is it's a mystery. It has been a mystery since the foundation of the world. It was a mystery in the Old Testament. It was something that you know, it was hard for them to see, or if there were any that did see it, it was very few that did. It was a mystery to them. And even to this day, a lot of people are confused about the coming of the Lord, what we say the second coming of the Lord. The second coming of the Lord is the revelation of Jesus Christ, or the revealing of him to the world. This is speaking of the rapture. This is 7 years prior. You have that as a part of the second coming of the Lord. if you could view the second coming of the Lord, as a wall with pictures on it, you could see that the whole thing is considered the second coming of the Lord, but you have a rapture event where God takes the church out. And we'll read some of that. He said that he'd come as a thief in the night. And we'll read that in a minute. But look what he said. He said here, and this is the rapture he's speaking of. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. So he's talking about us that are saved. We shall not all sleep. And when he says sleep here, he's talking about our bodies going to the grave. He said not all of us is going to go to the grave. But we shall all be changed. You know, they may have been, some of them think, well, you know, I've got a perfectly fine, my body's not rotten in the ground. The worms don't have me yet. But this body still needs to be changed as much as their body needs to be changed. He said, we'll not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. All of us will be changed. That's at the rapture. You and I are going to be changed. Those that are saved, that are asleep. Now listen, they're very much aware, their soul and spirit, to be absent from the body, the Bible says, is to be present with the Lord. They are very much aware. Hebrews 12 said that there was a great cloud of witnesses. Amen. When the rich man died, lifted up his eyes in hell, Lazarus was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And he was having conversation with Father Abraham. Very much aware. So he's not, you know, cuddled up, asleep, not knowing what's going on. His body is asleep. That's what he's talking about. The body has been laid to rest, has been laid to sleep. But the soul and the spirit of man and woman that's saved, very much alive. And them that's lost, they're very much alive too. That part is eternal. It cannot be destroyed. Their soul will die, but it will die and continue dying, the second death, forever. I'm not going to preach on that, but I'm saying the sleep, we shall not all sleep. That's all of going to the grave, but we shall all be changed. Now, here's something about the rapture. It's going to happen in a moment. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. Now, he used the word moment. It's atomos. It's this very smallest particle of matter that you can think of is an atom. And the coming of Christ is to be very sudden. And without notice, he said, I'll come in a day and an hour when they look not for me. He's not going to give the world notice, but he'll give us notice. Again, this is the rapture. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Now ask me to explain this last trump. I've got my own idea, but I can't say for sure what that is particularly. I do not believe it's the last trump during the tribulation period. Because those trumpets are going off and lost people are around everywhere. This is something for us to hear. And God's people, there were different trumpets that God allowed them to sound. Israel, they sounded for feasts, they sounded for war, they sounded for the end of things. And so I think maybe it could be a picture of, you know, saying, children of God, this is the last trump for us. Amen. But again, I'm not claiming that I know everything there is to know about this, but I do not believe for a minute we're going through the tribulation period, or that this is a tribulation period trumpet. I do not believe that. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. That they'll be raised, the dead in Christ, not all dead. The dead in Christ. Look, he's very, very sure about this when he says, the dead in Christ, we shall all be, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now, if that's everybody getting up and everybody being changed, then there is no lost people ever. Or else, how can they have victory over death? This is you and I. The second coming of our Lord is going to bring victory over death. The action of it. We have it right now. Right now we have victory. Victory promised. It's sure. You and I are sure to this victory. Listen, if I go to the grave, I am sure of this victory. That body's going to be changed. We lay somebody in there that's saved, you have the victory promised. That body will be changed one day. And if we don't go to the grave, we have that victory still saying, this body will not see death. It will be changed. Standing on our feet, it'll be changed. We shall be changed. So, he said, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. That's all you and I have ever known. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Verse 56. That has been the life of humanity since Adam fail. Sin and death. And the strength of it is because they ain't nobody broke that pattern. Everybody's died except the two that the Lord has for a purpose. Enoch went on to heaven. We know that. Elijah was caught up in a whirlwind. Amen. We know that. So, he has a purpose for them. But they'll be changed one day. They'll be changed. Just like we'll be changed. Now, when you think about, again, the second coming of our Lord, we see the picture of the rapture. There's the tribulation period. Then there is the second coming of our Lord, what's called the revelation of Christ. At the end of the tribulation period, the rapture is where the Bible says that he cometh unto them that look for him shall he appear. Unto them that look for him shall he appear. There's many that's not looking for him. So, at the rapture, just them that's looking for him shall he appear to them. At the revelation, Revelation chapter 1 said, behold, every eye shall see him. Every eye. The whole world, they'll see. He'll make sure of that. Amen. Now, look at Revelation 16, 15. If you go to Revelation chapter number 16, here's what Jesus said. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And the Lord speaking spiritually here about walking naked. He said, blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. This is spiritual talk. But he said, behold, I come as a thief. In 1 Thessalonians, go to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. It's right before Timothy. You have 2 and 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Look at verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Now, he said nothing here about when he comes, you're not going to know the times or the seasons. He's not even begun to say that. He said, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Why? Because they would know if it's summer, spring, winter, fall. And he said, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Just like they would know the seasons, he said, you know perfectly. The Lord is going to come like a thief in the night. And Brother Adam asked me a peculiar question today. He said, when that trumpet sounds at the rapture, is everybody going to hear it? Well, if he comes as a thief, I don't think everybody's going to hear that trumpet. I think that trumpet is specifically for God's people. Them that are asleep, their bodies in the grave, and for us that are alive and remain, we'll hear that trumpet, the last trump for God's people. Because he's coming as a thief. Now, if a thief was going to break into your house and take only that which is precious and be gone, do you think he'd come in there and blow a trumpet that everybody could hear? No, he's not going to do that. But our Lord is going to blow a trumpet. So he says here in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 2. Go back to it. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, he calls it. It's the day of the Lord. Now we're getting into a bigger picture. The day of the Lord, it consists of the rapture, the tribulation, the revelation, or the second coming of Christ when we come back with him, the thousand-year reign, the whole period. This is the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The day of the Lord. When he speaks of the day of the Lord, he doesn't just necessarily speak like one day. He's meaning a period of time. Right now we're in the times or the days of the Gentiles. So he said, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. The start of it. Bam! Like a thief. The Lord's going to be back. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So the lost people, they are the children of the night, and they are the children of darkness. That day will overtake them as a thief. How? They won't know it until it's happened. It'll be come and over with before they even realize what's happened. The day of the Lord will start. The church will be gone. And he said in verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Now that's spiritually. We don't need to fall asleep on God. Let us watch and be sober. That talks about the characteristic of our walk, our life in Christ. That we watch and that we're sober. We're sober-minded. We've got our head on straight. Amen? There's a lot of people believing a lot of crazy things out here in the religious world today. They're not sober-minded at all. Not sober-minded at all. Like a drunk man. Have you ever talked to a drunk man? Have you ever heard him talk about anything? He'll try to say something, try to make sense out of it, and it don't make no sense. I tried to talk to one time about his life, and before I know it, he is quoting country music song verses. This is what I believe life's like. And I'm like, he's more confused than any man I'd ever run into. Why? Not sober-minded. Can't think straight. Can't think right. God wants us to be sober, to watch. Watch, wait. Let us not sleep. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. To obtain salvation, deliverance from the wrath to come. Deliverance from a tribulation period. From a judgment of God that's coming upon the world. The picture is the picture God gave us when Noah and his family escaped the flood through the ark. You and I are in Christ, amen? In Christ, safe.
Amen.
That's a greater picture of Israel being kept during the tribulation. You and I are more a picture of Enoch taken out long before the flood ever came.
Amen.
Amen. Don't think that God didn't put all that stuff in there just that way for no reason. He said all these things were written for our learning, for our admonition. God gave us these pictures, these types, that we could look at it and say, yes, I can see it. Amen? I can see the picture. Enoch gets taken out, raptured. That's the church. Noah, there he is. That small family kept in the ark during the greatest tribulation that ever hit man. And what did Jesus say? He said, the days of the tribulation period, he said, there's never been days on the earth like the days of the tribulation period. God's not going to make his people go through that. Amen? No. God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Amen. To live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Comfort yourselves. Over there in Corinthians, he says the same thing. Comfort one another with these words. Comfort yourself. I ain't got no comfort thinking I'm going to go through tribulation period. I ain't got no comfort thinking that I'm going to, you know, the sun's going to be a third times more hot than it has ever been my whole life. Amen. And the great boil's going to pop out on my flesh. And the river's going to be turned to blood. No drinking water. And men's going to be seeking death and death not finding them. I ain't got no hope thinking I'd have to go through something like that. That ain't comfort to me. But he said, comfort yourself. Comfort one another. God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. Deliverance. Deliverance from that day. Amen. I believe that. Praise the Lord. Matthew 25. Go to Matthew 25. Some things about the coming of the Lord. It's a comfort for the believer. Amen. It is deliverance from the wrath to come. Matthew 25. Matthew 24, 25 is amazing writings. Matthew 25, look what he said. Verse number 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps took no oil with them. The wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Now, this evidently is something that is going to happen during the time of the 1,000-year reign. How do you know that, Brother Mark? Well, because the marriage feast is happening. And I don't understand all this. But I know also we can see a picture, even during that time, of those that didn't have oil in their lamp. It's a great spiritual picture. All of God's people have an idea what it means to not have oil in your lamp. But when I was lost, I kind of understood that. I'm missing that I need to be a light. that would burn, fire. I'm missing that. Matthew 24, right close, verse 43. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. Son of Man cometh. Our Lord warned constantly about his coming. Whether they understood the whole of it, but any part of his coming, he's warning them. He's warning the world of his coming. And to be ready for his coming. That's the point, is to be ready. Because then it doesn't matter about all the things that are going to be happening during the day of the Lord. You are ready and you're going to be with him. John 14, that great chapter, says, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. That's a picture of the rapture. That's not speaking to everybody. That's speaking to God's people that are going to live with him forever. He's not telling lost people that where I am, there you may be also. He's talking to God's people. He said, I'm going away preparing a place for you. That's a prepared place for a prepared people. The second coming of our Lord is for a prepared people, a saved people, a people ready, a people watching. People that will be delivered. Amen. Will be delivered. Oh my. Coming of Christ is going to be very sudden. Very, very sudden. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I mean, so fast. I used to hear people talk about, you know, well, they'll call out to God. It'll be too late. It's going to happen faster than you can blink. Faster than you can blink. Faster than you and I, our eye can twinkle. These are the events that are going to happen. A trumpet, he's going to come in the clouds. Sound a trumpet. The dead in Christ are going to be changed and rise. We're going to be changed. And we're going to be caught up all at the same time to meet the Lord in the air. All of that happens in a twinkle of an eye. Think about that. That's amazing. And he may even say, come up hither. Like it's written in Revelations 4. I know he's coming for his people, and they're going to be changed, and all that's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. The rapture is completely for the saved. Listen, there are, in the Bible, verses concerning the resurrection, and it declares plainly a resurrection of the just and of the unjust. Psalm 1 says that you and I will not stand, the righteous shall not stand in judgment, nor in the congregation of sinners. You remember how that read? We're not going to be in the same judgment as them. We're not going to be caught up at the same time as them. We're being called up to reign with him. Just be with our Savior, that where he is, there will be. Bless your heart. There's a lot of things that entail the second coming of our Lord. Brother Carl Roper used to have a paper. He'd give them out everywhere he'd go. And it was on the second coming of the Lord. And it showed the difference between the rapture and the revelation. And it had Bible verses for each event, showing specifically that they were at two different times during the day of the Lord, during the second coming of our Lord. That's amazing. The Bible will always prove itself out. Do you know that? It'll tell you everything you need to know, everything I need to know. It is the hope of the saved. Christ is the hope of the saved. His coming for us. That is part of the great hope of the saved. Always remember that He is the hope. He's our everything. Amen. I want you to stand. I'm done.